welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October the 9th, 2021, Season 15, Episode 34. Let me make sure I had that right. Oh, I did update. Okay, I didn't think I did, but I guess unless you did, maybe. I don't know.
I haven't touched that thing.
Okay,
since
well.
Since I cleaned it.
Yeah, it's, well, I didn't mean this. I meant in the document here. I try to update this number for everybody else to see, and sometimes I forget. But anyway, yeah. Season 15, Episode 34, I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Wendy is not here. Wendy told me to tell you, RJ, hello.
Oh.
And also told me to tell everybody else, hi, that she's sorry she couldn't be here. Our schedules are not the greatest this week. Well, this today and I don't know. Next week, I hope she's here next week. But I have station responsibilities.
You have a bunch of station responsibilities.
I have station responsibilities.
We talked about that last week.
Which requires me to have to do something much, much sooner in the day than when we get to here to this show. So, it's the fair. I have to go to the fair. so, yeah. I don't necessarily blame her for wanting to stay home. It was hot out there. But it's actually supposed to be really good weather next week. Anyway, welcome to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. But why do that when you just join into Discord and talk to us from... If I could unmute... There we go. Now if you're in Discord, you can hear us. So yeah, if you join us on Discord, you can just talk to us. But you can call if you want to, 272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. Ingamechat.net, scroll all the way to the bottom. It has a link to our Discord there. You've also, I hope that still works. Discord's weird on their linkage. But there's a link to our Discord there. I'll check that and make sure it still works, he says. And like 3 weeks later, he'll get around to it. You can also, you know, call in. You can also send us an email, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. You can tweet us. That's fine. We don't mind it. Email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Twitch.tv is the address. Go there. Type in in-game chat. You'll find us. But again, if you go to our website, go all the way to the bottom. Boom. There you are. And you'll see us on TV. Our TV. Your computer. You can watch us there live while we broadcast. We got a chat room set up in there. Wow, it's already... Look at it go. Already got people in there. Drunk Degenerates, Bama Brian. There's Wendy. She's hanging out.
Hey, Wendy. Hey,
we got new emotes for chat since we enabled, what is it, two-factor authentication is what we enabled. And it gave us some new, like, little, I don't know, icons, emotes, or something like that. So, yeah. What else do we have? Yep, Wendy's a new mod. Lethal Migraine is in there. We Nabokov fan hanging out, which is good to have him. And AC Wraith hanging out as well. So, there we go. Welcome to the show. He says he's getting everything else situated and ready. Like he's never done this before. Plenty to talk about, I guess. But, well, yeah, plenty to talk about. We'll go ahead and talk about Twitch right now, since that was a big deal that happened throughout the week. And I was talking about enabling two-factor authentication and or authorization or whatever it is. It was a massive, massive leak by some anonymous person, a hacker. Leaked out the source code for Twitch, and just caused a lot of problems. Now, they have said over and over again, but I never trust a company that says, oh, they didn't get your user, they didn't get your good information. They didn't get your passwords, your credit card info. Maybe they didn't get your credit card info, but maybe they're working on getting your credit card info from everything that they got. Maybe they didn't get your passwords, but they're working on getting in from everything that you got. And Twitch's integration with Amazon makes that even worse. So I've changed our password on Twitch. I've enabled the 2FA, so we are covered there. And really, I only realized it when we were about to start the show here, and I thought, oh, I have to get a new Steam key, you know, or Stream key is what it is. I have to get one of those so that I can, so we can broadcast, and I hope it all works, which obviously it did. But
so regardless of what a company says, you go when you hear something about it being hacked, first thing you want to do, get all your stuff changed and situated right then and there.
Change password, get it done.
Yeah.
Because I know, it sucks. It always sucks because you're trying to get, I just realized we're coming in really hot on that machine up there. So I'm going to knock the volume back a little bit. There we go. Oh, that didn't do anything, did it? Wow. Okay. There we go. I do apologize about this. I wasn't looking at. Oh, also, we've switched some things over. Things have changed here. That I hear.
Yeah.
I don't know what that looks like on the camera. Here, by here, I mean like we moved some mic cords and did some stuff here. And so maybe that's the reason that it's doing what it's doing.
You did some changing in the studio because the same. Well, I think you mentioned before because of multiple setups that people have here in this studio alone. Yeah, we're going to be changing things every week.
And I'll be honest with you, we're on the bottom of that totem pole for anything that needs to. What comes first is the weekly shows.
Yeah.
Then us. Not even really. So don't worry about it.
You know that tier below bottom tier.
That's where we are. We're way below there. Yeah, we're free. So that's the reason that, which is perfectly fine. I totally understand it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all. Anyway, back to Twitch, though. A lot of stuff leaked on that. So we've changed it. I suggest everybody who is on Twitch, I hope you guys have changed everything there. Go through. Everybody hates changing their passwords. I know someone, and I'm not going to mention a name, who really, really needs to get those passwords organized and get everything together. And it's tough. It's really tough to do. You have to find your method and apply it. You know, whether that method is you write down what it is on a piece of paper somewhere that you keep in the house, or if you do what I do, which is I keep something on my phone here. Everything that's in there is a hint or something that upon looking at it, you would have no idea. But for me, I look at that and I know, okay, I know the username that I'm using for that account and I know the password that I'm using for that account. But otherwise, it doesn't relay that in anything that I've written. You just have to know. And so I know enough that the way that I've laid that plan out is that, okay, good, I know what my passwords are for this. And speaking of, you know, I changed the Twitch password, and I need to update that on my list of passwords, which I have not done because we were just in here. Oh, what's the password? Thank God it was saved in Chrome, which is probably not good. But yeah, so let's see what else is going on. Do people really use different passwords for? I can barely remember two go-to passwords. You should use different passwords for everything. Yeah. I found this out the hard way because I used the same password for a lot of stuff way back in my 20s.
Same here.
And did pretty well until something got hacked. And that exposed me across everything. That's exactly why you use different passwords.
Yeah.
Is because if you use one for everything, all they need to do is hack one thing that you use, get that password, and I guarantee you they're going to try it on every single thing they can think of that might have your name on it, and they'll get in there that way.
I think my password is this point.
No, Lethal Migraine. It's like Bungie with letters or Destiny 2 with letters and numbers and things like that. The D and then the 3. Then there's a 5, and then T, and then 1, and then N, and Y. It's not, by the way. It's not what I use.
In my case, mine is just a bunch of gibberish at this point. I mean, it's not even a recognizable word. It's just a bunch of symbols and whatever just thrown together.
Yeah.
With a bunch of as many characters as it would allow me to put in there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I was asking my password right now, I couldn't tell you at all. I couldn't even think about it. I'd have to get it off my... Where I'm saving it, that way.
Well, it's interesting.
It's easy for. I mean, it doesn't take much to get get your information nowadays.
It doesn't.
It doesn't take much to get that information and then ruin someone's life and take everything they got now. So
it doesn't. They also, the hackers also got a hold of like what some of the streamers make money-wise.
Yeah.
And it really, really showed off, you know, what kind of money some of these streamers are pulling into the millions and stuff like that.
I think a month, wasn't it? They pull out their monthly income.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they pulled up their monthly income. Somewhere, the high six figures.
Man. Yeah.
And it was like, yeah.
That's a lot of stuff. And I remember seeing somebody tweeted something out talking about like, and I don't know the validity of it because, and I don't know who they were talking about. I guess some of the names that they mentioned in that tweet, related to basically they were running a gambling site.
Mm-hmm.
Through Twitch type of thing,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you subscribe or you get the money or whatever the case may be, and then your name's not necessarily in a contest or it's put into something. I don't remember what it is, but it was like you legit stream games and you make that happen. That's good. But then I remember somebody on YouTube got busted for this as well because it was basically some kind of underage gambling that they were running.
Yeah, too many people have access.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have the age check, age verification.
Which is what the top streamers that I saw were doing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the and it was a few of them. It wasn't a bunch. It was only like maybe three. There may have been more.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that were pointed out in that tweet, and I have to go back and find it, was I think like two people
mm-hmm.
who were way up there. But it was
not by legitimate means.
It was something that that could get Twitch into trouble. It got YouTube into trouble,
mm-hmm.
Or at least it got those people on YouTube who were doing that into trouble.
Mm.
They might want to look at that. But yeah, big hack on the Twitch. So get those passwords changed. Before we get it heavy into the news here, let's talk about what we played, and I'm going to hand it over to you, RJ.
Well, outside of GTA Online and MLB The Show, I played a bit of R-Type Final 2, got back into that. They remade one of the stages to Final that was on PS2, I believe. Yeah, 2. And I was going through that, and I was bringing up all these old memories of some of the most deadliest enemies that the Bato Empire has to throw at me, and I was trying to get through that stage. So I was having a good old time with that. And outside of that, I've also finally got one of my games off my backlist, Guilty Gear Strive. I started playing the story mode of that.
Oh, I was about to say.
Yeah.
That's a fighting game, though.
Yeah.
And I know they have some fighting games
mm-hmm.
have stories, and I guess some do, some don't.
Some do, some don't. Some focus on mostly focus on gameplay instead of anything story wise. But
right, it's like it's sort of like an afterthought.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of like the story mode in Call of Duty. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All you want to do is the multiplayer type stuff.
I mean, it was story mode was the deal for Call of Duty up until they hit Modern Warfare.
Yeah. Then they went straight multiplayer.
Oh, man.
That was his bread and butter.
That was good multiplayer, too.
And that was his bread and butter at that point.
It was.
But yeah.
That's it.
But anyway, story mode for Guilty Gear Strive went about a little over 4 hours. It was just a straight story, storytelling thing. As not like it was a Mortal Kombat where there was some fighting you had to do in the game that would change the path of the story or block story progression until you won the battle or whatever, something like that. It was just a straight story going throughout. But there was something that that really got me about the game when I started playing it. Remember how we talked about load times that you don't even think about them much really nowadays until they're noticeable.
Yeah.
Really noticeable, right? Well, in Guilty Gear Strive's case, it was really, really noticeable how long it took to get from startup to the intro screen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took literally minutes before it got there. Something with the online network aspect it was trying to configure. But I thought that was maybe, since it was the first time I played it, maybe it was the first time hookup, something like that. Maybe it'd get all the settings straight and it'd be fine from then on. That wasn't the case. The second time I loaded this game up, it was the exact same amount of time waiting to get from startup to intro screen. It was a minutes long wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're trying to patch the issue and resolve it. But I don't think I bought the game. I don't think I played it for 3 months. So it's been a minute. So, wow, this has been going on for at least that much time and you're just now getting around to it. I don't know what's going on, but I thought something like that would be fixed pretty quickly, pretty immediately. But
and this was on what system was this on?
This is on a PS4.
I'm curious if you ran that on PS5, if it's compatible to do so, and maybe it is. I don't know, but if you were running that on PS5, if their NVMe, their memory would make it go faster.
Maybe, but like I was saying, this thing was like configuring to like network something with network.
Oh, so maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've done this week. GTA, MLB The Show, R-Type Final 2, and Guilty Gear Strive.
All right. For me, let's see, where do I want to... Well, not that I played a bunch. Yeah, I got up this morning, I played Destiny. What little I could, because again, today's been a busy day.
Yeah, busy day.
You know, it's. I left the house at like 10:30 this morning. So normally we don't leave until like 1.
Yeah,
12:30 or 1, and so I had to leave today at like 10:30 to do everything that I had to do. So didn't get a lot of time in with Destiny. I think we're doing some stuff tonight. I may still do that. I may back out. I don't know. but
one of them, raids again.
They were throwing up. There's an option to run a raid or to run a Grandmaster Nightfall, because those have kicked back in this week. They've started the Grandmasters this week.
That's the one with all the difficulty things.
That's
the
one that's ramped all the way. It's like six or seven or eight
different things.
It is your end game. I mean, once you've done raid stuff, Grandmasters are your end game.
Yeah,
that's your end game content. And your in-game PvP content would normally be trials. That is probably still the case, but people may look at that a little bit differently now.
Yeah.
They've kind of opened up trials to be a lot more, I don't want to say rewarding for players, but a lot more inviting to players who don't normally play something like trials. But for the longest time, trials, and it may still be, was considered your PvP in-game stuff. You know, that was like, if you're really into the player versus player stuff, well, your end game is to make it to trials and to, you know, hone your skills there.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I don't believe I have Beyond Light. I think that's the add-on. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
And the one after it is the Witch Queen.
That comes out in February.
So, there's no bundle. Is it like, there's something I see in the store that had like, kind of bundled it or something.
I know Witch Queen is bundled. Well, no.
Is Witch Queen bundled with Beyond Light?
I don't think so. No, okay. I think Witch Queen is bundled with like, hey, there's a bunch of the seasons that are coming up, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I don't think it's bundled with Beyond Light. I don't know.
Okay. I just have to research it then. Yeah. I don't have a Beyond Light, but there was but the prelude that it showed me was Witch Queen.
Yeah.
Dealing with I forget his name, but he was the one assaulted by her at the end.
That was, well, we call him Crow now, but it was Aldrin.
Okay.
If you're talking about the guy that shot Cade.
I don't even remember who shot Cade. Like I said, I'm waiting for
Marisov's brother, okay. Aldrin. They were she was Queen of the Reef way back in Destiny 1, and he was her brother. Aldrin was.
No, we might not be talking about the same
person. We must not be talking about the same person.
Okay,
the
bug guy. They got his arm ripped off.
Oh, Mithrax.
Okay, that guy. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know names of the Destiny.
No, wait a second. That's not Mithrax, because that's from Splicer. This would have been, or maybe it is. No. I know who you're talking about.
One of the fallen. He has a bionic arm, and the Witch Queen gets there and tears it off of him. Near the end of promo, anyway.
Yeah, I'd have to look at that again.
Yeah.
I started watching the entire story of Destiny, or at least all the cutscenes of Destiny, starting with D1. It was really interesting to see these things and kind of remember, oh, I remember this or that sort of thing. Yeah. Because like, you remember some of the high points, but then there's some of these little things in between that you're like, oh, wow. I remember when that used to have to be a thing. You have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So go to the reef. I think I got all the way up to the Dreadnought.
Okay.
When the Taken King expansion, I got all the way up to that one. Didn't go much further beyond that just yet. So I'm still in D1.
Mm-hmm.
Never made it over to D2 just yet. Yeah. Going back, watching the cutscenes. I know you're talking about, and I am, for whatever reason, I am drawing a blank.
Well, it was a throwaway intro. So
yeah, I know.
It was something like that. So that was all that was. But yeah, Beyond Light, I haven't picked up yet. And now we have Witch Queen coming out February, you said?
February 22nd.
Yeah, so it's going to be a minute. So I'll see. I'll just do the research and see what I can see up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, see what you can look at.
See, get used to all the other changes that made there. I'm still trying to get over my character's hair being turned white for all of a sudden. I don't know what that was. All my other characters are fine. But for him, it's like the Titan is now solid white hair. I don't know.
Well, we're going to take a break before I come back and tell you a lot more about my week that started right after last week's show. And I'll go down the timeline of everything that happened last week, leading all the way up to this morning, actually.
Good.
And I'll explain everything right after we take this break. All of your music today was curated by Wendy, who's not here. But she went around and found spooky tunes, because it's October, and that's what we do in October. We play spooky video game tunes. The odd thing is, the interesting thing, I don't necessarily want to call it odd, but the interesting thing is where she found some of her music from, and I really wish she was here to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Because yesterday was just a massively rough day. I didn't feel like working on anything. She had gone through and picked out 10 tracks and said, hey, you know, these, wrote them down for me. And then this morning I got up and said, okay, I'll work on the music. You know, she handed me the list and I just do it one by one. I don't even go looking down the list to like see what she's got. I'm just like, okay, this one, type it in, get it. Good. Type it in. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. So, I come across this one, this one's coming up first here. I was like, you know what? I wouldn't have expected to find spooky video game music in Uncharted, but mm-hmm. she did.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how she came across it. Maybe she typed it in, or maybe she'd looked for it or something like that. But this is called Unwelcome Guest. It's from the first Uncharted. I believe it's when they throw the supernatural aspect of the series. Mm-hmm. You know, every game, again, and I kind of explained it to her. It works a lot like the Indiana Jones films. For the most part, everything you're doing is kind of based in some sort of reality, mm-hmm. in a sense, until, of course, he opens the Ark of the Covenant. Until, of course, you know, he rips a guy's heart out and he's still alive while the heart's beating or whatever, mm-hmm. in Temple of Doom. And, of course, everything from Crusade. And then, of course, Crystal Skull, if you even want to bring that up. There's always reality-based and then a nice little flip near the end that is completely supernatural. And Uncharted is no different.
Mm-hmm.
All of those games, you're good, you're good, you're good. And then it's like, oh, supernatural element, or you know, something like that. Magical, supernatural, something, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go down that road. Okay. Except I don't know that happened in 4.
I haven't played 4, but it felt like the, from all the clips I've seen, it basically was like just a reuniting of Nathan and his brother and Nadia and
yeah, I don't think anything supernatural actually occurred in Uncharted 4. I'm sorry that I'm going off on a... Yeah, it is Varix. Thank you, Bama Brian. Varix was the guy you were talking about with his arm ripped off.
Yeah,
I was just about to think that, or just about to say that.
What was a revenge story? Payback.
Yeah, but there's absolutely so. Uncharted 1 has the zombie like guys.
Right.
Uncharted 2 had the whole Shangri-La with the big blue men and everything else. Uncharted 3 had another lost civilization that you find and destroy by the end of it as mm-hmm. it all collapses.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Uncharted 4, which started with Amy working on that
mm-hmm.
and then completely got scrapped and started over from with the guys from Last of Us who are, I mean, Last of Us, you could say, is very reality-based except for the main enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But it...
That's a little quirk, but nothing's exactly supernatural.
Right. It's not zombies. Well, you know, they still kind of act the same as, I guess you would say, zombies, but...
Possessed.
Yeah, something like that. They still tried to find some sort of scientific reasoning as to what this is, where you don't have that in the other games. But Uncharted 4 is those guys, and I don't think they turned to the supernatural. They could have. It's been a long time since I played that game. It has been a very long time since I played that game, so... But I don't mind. That's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this is when everything goes up, everything turns around here. Yeah. It's called Unwelcome Guest. It's from Uncharted. It's just it wasn't something I was expecting. Hmm. It's kind of like when I found that one track from Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, well, we've said before, it doesn't have to be a scary game to have scary music in it.
Like you can, yeah, if you can put your mind into a different mindset of what you're listening to and not relate it to the game that it came from, especially when it's Donkey Kong Country, you're like, ah, kid's game, I get what this is. But if you put your mindset into something a little bit different, the music can mean completely new things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've talked long enough about this. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chats. It's a pretty good one here.
What you got?
Track is called Hidden Lab, and it's from the game Fear 2. Remember Fear?
Alma?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A little ghost girl playing hide-and-seek with you?
Right.
You just show up and dead things happen.
Yeah. Dead things? Yeah, just really creepy things happen, yeah. But she just appears there, just, yeah. I remember Fear. What I remember most about Fear was that it did something that a lot of games, they still do. And it wasn't that that was the first game to ever do it. But I remember it. I remember, I think we were playing it with James. He was the one running the, he was the one playing it. Nobody else wanted to. Or maybe it wasn't him. Maybe both of us were playing it. And I think we brought it up. He brought it up. I brought it up. Something to the effect of when you do certain things in the game, an animation takes over, which means you can't. The camera is locked in a position that you have no control over. Any other time that you're controlling your character, you have free reign to look around and everything else. But if you go down a ladder or go up a ladder or, I don't know, there's many different actions that your character can take. It goes into an animation that, you know, the camera, you don't have control over camera.
Yeah. Going up ladders, crawling through tight spaces, things of that nature, yeah.
So, it was one of those things where, so when you're going down a ladder, the camera is face down the ladder, and then it like swoops up and then turns around, and so, but as soon as it turns around, it's like boom, girl, right there as you're going down the thing, and just, you have no control over it. You can't, there's nothing you can do. Close your eyes, I suppose, but you can't, you know, move the camera away or do anything like that. So it puts you in this locked position, which also that enhances the intensity of the moment, you know. So anyway, welcome back to the show, and Chris is on the line. Chris, I'm going to get to you. I know you're holding, but I am going to get to you. I just want to talk about, because you're involved in this, Chris, So as you remember last week, I talked about, you know, I was going to be taking in my Xbox Kinect back to GameStop to trade in, which, by the way, that thing could get extended, but currently today is the final day. When they close today, that's when the deal ends. And I want to say it's all of the deal. I think it's the deal on the bonus that you're getting on trading in the Xbox One X and the PS Pro, also the PS4 Pro and the PS4 and everything else. You get a bonus, but I think that bonus is going to end today. Also, I think the game turn-in bonus, where you turn in 2 for 20%, 3 for 30%, up to 5 for 50%, I think that also ends today as well. There is no guarantee that they're going to extend this, but they might, given that they still need the consoles. I don't know if it's helped them or not. It's certainly the store that I use has certainly enjoyed my time being there and trading in all this stuff. They really, really have. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It's helped their trade numbers immensely.
Yeah.
Because they have, like, whatever, their quota to hit or something like that, and it's done a very good job for them. Yeah. What did he tell? I think he told me that I got them 48% of the way.
Yeah.
If
GameStop has taught me anything, the employees have taught me anything, the management is, I wouldn't even say focused, they are obsessed with numbers at that location. And their employees got them running hysterical trying to get those numbers up
they don't have to with this kind of a deal. It's a great little deal. Yeah. I mentioned this in my show write up for last week's episode was the fact that rarely does this method of getting rid of your old games and consoles, rarely does that benefit the consumer. And I mean, if you compare it all on paper, it really actually doesn't benefit the consumer as you might think, but it does benefit a certain type of consumer. The amount of store credit that I got off of this stuff, it was just unreal.
Yeah.
If I had wanted to take the cash option, it was going to be significantly less.
Yeah.
But if you know how to use that, you can benefit from it. Mm. Put the money on another card, and then you can sell that card, or you can give that gift as a Christmas gift, or split it up and give it to other people over. And you haven't spent a dime for Christmas, you know, or in that regard. And you can get that money put on like an Amazon card that you want to give to somebody, and it doesn't have to be the entire thing. It can be, here's $15, Merry Christmas, whatever. You know, and it's all taken care of in that regard, which is why you get more with the store credit than you would if you got cash. But sometimes you need the cash, right?
Right.
So yeah, it's a great deal, and I want to bring up another deal that you get. The accessories deal is actually really, really good right now for trading in accessories over to that store. And I know I'm plugging them, but I know how hard it is sometimes to get rid of your stuff. You know, whether you're selling it on eBay or you're selling it on the marketplace, or wherever you may be trying to sell it yourself, it is sometimes very hard to get what you want and to go through whatever the hoops you got to jump through to make that happen. And rarely is it going to be more than what you're going to get from, at least with the deal that they had going on at GameStop right now. $325 for a PS4 Pro. I might be able to get $350 in cash on that, maybe, if I can find somebody that would want it. I guess I don't know. I actually don't know what they're running used or what. I don't know what people are selling them for, to be honest with you. But it was a really good deal, and not one I wanted to pass up. However, you know, we talked about this last week, and the accessories deal. I meant to tell you that the accessories deal that's going on. Take the Nintendo Joy-Cons, for instance. If you just take the Joy-Cons themselves and trade them in, with being a pro member and all the bonuses that come with that, $64. It's like 30-something per.
Mm.
And so you give them a left one and a right one, $64 right there.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. And then you can take in one of your PlayStation 4 controllers if you wanted to. You know, with those, you're going to get a bonus on those and get, I don't know, $35, $36 back. maybe, in store credit anyway.
Yeah, store credit.
It'll be a lot less with cash, of course.
Yeah.
So that's the accessory deal. And again, I think all of this ends tonight. So if you've got your console, you want to do some trade-in stuff, go right ahead. Now, last week I was talking about that on this show, and Chris hit me up and saying he was interested in purchasing the Xbox, the OG Xbox One that I had. He's on the phone, and we're going to talk to him. But legit, I went home. I got everything back, and I want to talk to him, make sure everything was good. It should be good and working order and everything. But I don't, you know what? I don't. Yeah, I set up a dummy account. I did. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was about to say, I don't think I wiped. I don't think I wiped that console, Chris. Mm-hmm. But I do remember setting up a dummy account there. So I think we're good. But he came out. He bought the machine from me. And he got some games out of it too, because I had some games to trade in as well, mm-hmm. Which I did. I took more games, and I can't remember how many there were. There weren't that many, but I got $250, $260 in trade credit,
mm-hmm.
just from, like, I don't know. I think it was 9 games. It may have been 8 games, and mm-hmm. that was it. I brought 10 because I wanted to do the whole 5 here, 5 here. But they would not take back Dead Rising 4, or it wasn't a part of the deal or something like that. Dead Rising 4 got very, very minimal minimal amount. They wouldn't take back my copy of, it was a Call of Duty game, but it also came with that Modern Warfare remaster.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty Infinite War, or I don't know what it was called. But he said, yeah, that's, we don't, we've got... There comes a time when they have too many of this, and okay. they no longer take.
I'm trying to think of a reason why, because they're not old games, so why would they not? I guess
when you start looking at games like Call of Duty and your sports games that go bad after the yeah, and I don't even I think they stop sports titles altogether. Yeah. I think they stop trading on those. I don't remember, but you know, some of your Call of Duty, some of your bigger popular. Titus, like, oh, we got plenty of these.
Yeah,
we, like, we don't need them anymore.
With sport and multiplayer games like that, I can see that. But Dead Rising 4, I mean...
Yeah, it's not that they didn't take it. It's just, whatever reason, the promotion wasn't being applied to that specific game.
That specific game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know what it was, but I was like, sure. I think I gave a copy of that Call of Duty thing to Chris. Mm-hmm. And he also got my Fantasia game that was Kinect only. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they... I figured they probably didn't take that. You know,
yeah.
Why would you take a Kinect game? Nobody's doing the Kinect stuff, you know. So he did that. That was fantastic. I did the game trade, and while I was there, they didn't really talk me into it, but they said, "You want to put down for a OLED Switch?" Sure, why not?
You got the credit.
I have so much of the credit. Yeah. So much of the credit.
Oh, by the way, I was on eBay looking at the
PS4, prices for
PS4
the PS4
Pro. Yeah, it varies across the board, but roughly around
$375.
About $300 to $400. Yeah,
really used.
Used. Well, used. Yeah,
because brand new, I think they're $400.
Yeah, some people are going. I'll just say they're being a little ambitious with their brand new prices for.
I thought brand new was $400, unless of course these are hard to find as well. I don't know. I really haven't tried to shop
for.
Hard to
find, but I think we said last week GameStop supply of PS4 Pros and last gen systems were dwindling anyway.
Oh no, those stores, yes, yeah. That's for pre-owns, yes, of course. Yeah. But I'm not sure about, like, you know, big box stores or Amazon. Can you go on Amazon and buy a PS4 Pro right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, something that was interesting in here, someone is trying to sell a PlayStation 4 default, not the Pro, for $2,000. There's nothing special about it at all.
Are you sure?
Don't see anything on
it. Are you sure it's not one of those 500, it's the 500th million?
Well, the 500 million one was a PS4 Pro, but that was a 1,000. This is just a PS4. Then they're trying to get $2,000 for it.
It's probably got PT on it.
No, it looks like a plain PS4. Ambitious. Looking up Amazon right now?
I am looking up Amazon. Is this shipped and sold by Amazon or no? Who is this shipped and sold by?
PlayStation 4 Pro terabit console, 41 options ranging from $350.
Yeah, that sounds about
right.
Slim,
then you got the Slim ranging from $477.
My point being is that I don't see any PS4 Pros on here that you can buy like right now.
Right.
Outside that are just, yeah, no, there's none.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is just from, you know, sold by Amazon, that sort of thing. I don't see that it's available. Maybe they are hard to come by right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have tried to sell it with cash. Anyway, I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm totally fine with this. I don't really like necessarily to sell my stuff. And if I do, I don't like to jump through a lot of hoops to do it as well. This was perfectly fine to do what I did. So, yeah, I put in for a Switch OLED. I have said on this show probably as early as last week or the week before last that I'm not going to get a Switch OLED. It's just a screen refresh. It's a screen difference. Why do I need this? And he went and did it.
Mm.
I went and did the deed.
It's not about need. It's about want.
And
you had the credit.
I had the credit, and I sold my Switch.
Mm.
I got a really good price on it, more than I would get for cash from the GameStop store.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they've included the Switch now on this deal that I've been getting. Your Switch now, and I don't know if today's the last day on this deal. It may have to do with the OLED release. I'm not sure. But your Switch will get you $260 in-store credit over at GameStop if you want to trade that in. Mm-hmm. And you're a pro member. That's what $260 in store credit for your Switch. A Switch you paid $300 for. You're out $40. You know?
Technically, yep, store credit, though.
And it's store credit, but that can be converted. That can be converted to Amazon, and then you can sell that gift card if you would like. Mm-hmm. You can make cash out of store credit.
Mm-hmm.
So long as you can buy cards of some sort, you can make cash out of store credit. It doesn't have to be an Amazon card. You can put it on an Xbox store card, a Microsoft store card, or a PlayStation store card, or a Steam card. You know, you can transfer it to anything that somebody might need, a gas card, and sell it for cash. If you wanted to do that.
Yeah, PT ain't on this thing.
That's still selling for a grand?
Yeah, it's like...
it's not a grand. How much is it?
$2,000.
$2,000, yeah.
$2,000 new. I think the description is that at this point, they're basically retro gaming collectibles.
Well, yeah. I originally put the Switch up on my Facebook page like, hey, I don't want to do the marketplace thing, but if somebody wants this, let me know. Nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm.
I got Wendy to take some photos of the Switch. She's really good at that. So she took two pictures, and I used one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And within 24 hours, I had two people interested in buying. Mm-hmm. In fact, found a buyer. And it is ready to go because we were going to make the exchange today.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is ready to go here. I have put – what I didn't realize is how well I take care of my stuff. I mean, I know I take care of my stuff.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize is how much of the stuff that I keep in a box for a gaming console.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had all the wrappers that everything came into and the styrofoam stuff and the little cloth things and all these little even the HDMI cable hadn't even been taken out of the package of this machine.
Yeah, because you had a spare somewhere in the house that you'd use. Yeah.
So it's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Got the OLED. Yesterday on the way home, picked up the OLED. I also picked up my special edition copy of Metroid Dread, which comes in a box, by the way, that's about, you can't see there. It's about that big. I mean, it looks like a PC box. You know, remember the old PC game boxes?
Yeah, PC game boxes.
I got a bunch of them hanging up at the, or sitting up at the house.
A whole lot of boxes, a little bit of game. Yeah.
Well, look, have you seen the Switch cartridges?
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of box for a little bit of game. Yeah. No, it's basically the art book that's in there, and there is, I don't know, some stupid little Metroid postcard thingies or something. And then, of course, there's a steelbook that the game is in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I got Metroid Dread. I went through and set everything up last night on the OLED. I'll talk about the OLED when we come back from the next one, but just went through the process on that. And what was the, I want to talk about the transfer process and everything else that I had to do to get everything done. I'm going to take the call from Chris because he's waited long enough. Poor guy. I tend to ramble. Chris, you know this, and I'm so sorry, but thank you.
Yeah, just like family, once you get started, your motor running, you can't stop, can you?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I'm trying to go in this timeline of things, and my head can't keep a timeline straight. It's going to go in off in different directions and stuff, because I haven't even talked about, because I do want to talk about the OLED system and everything that I experienced with that and how well it looks, and I want to talk about that, and I want to talk at least a little bit about Metroid Dread as well. But I wanted to give you the floor because we only have about 5 minutes here for the rest of the hour here. So, I mean, how's the Xbox working out for you? You said you just stuck it on a shelf, right?
It's still in the car. it was raining that afternoon, so I didn't want to get the box wet, so I left it there and forgot about it being in the back of the trunk.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, I got the new Switch OLED too. I just opened up the box and just looked at everything and put it back in there. I hadn't done anything with it, but I wanted to jump into Metroid right away, and I've been playing the living stew out of it. I probably got 3 or 4 hours into it now, and got pretty decently far. Have you started up on it?
I'm only about 30 minutes in. Yeah, I'm only about.
What was the last power up, or you know, what did you get? I'm probably way ahead of you.
No, I guess the most recent significant thing that I've done is, I got my arm cannon turned into the ultra cannon so I could kill that one robot.
Oh, so that's where you got to.
I'm a little bit past that point.
Okay. Yeah. I'm way ahead of you. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
Take your time. It's challenging. When you come across those enemy robots, if you get cornered, don't even try to block them. You know, it's next to impossible. It is impossible to block those things. You know, get away from them or stun them. Out of all the attempts that I've tried and died from them, besides the intro where they show you how to do it, where it's part of the tutorial, mm-hmm. I've only been able to do it twice.
Right, I got it through the tutorial. I've faced another one as well, and I've died by its hands many, many times. And I have tried to do that, and I haven't nailed one yet since the tutorial.
Yeah, it'll be one of those half percentage or 1% chances out of everything you encounter with them.
Yeah, but you got your OLED Switch, right?
Yeah, I got one with the color controllers, but yeah, that's the only thing they had in stock at the moment, so I accepted that, and you know, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm thinking about swapping everything over to it and then eventually playing on it too.
Okay. Yep. When you do that, well, I want to give you some tips. You probably already know what you're doing. I was the idiot that didn't, but I'll go ahead and
talk about that in detail, and I'll take notes from what you had to experience, and I'll know in advance what to do as well.
Okay, we're going to do that after this break here. Hey, Chris, thank you again for calling in, and we'll talk again, buddy.
All right, we'll see y'all later.
All right, take care.
Take care now.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do need to take a break here. And when we come back, I'll go over, you know, my thoughts on the OLED thing, which there's not going to be much to talk about as far as that. I mean, it's a screen refresh, and that's basically it. There's a little bit of a body refresh, but not much. And so I'll talk about that, and I will talk about a little bit about Metroid Dread. And I do want to talk about the process of taking your information on one Switch and moving it to another Switch and how that whole thing happens. And things you should know before you do that, when you do that, and after you do that. Things that I only discovered, I would say, the hard way, but it wasn't so bad. I'll tell you about it when we come back from this break. Music here from Resident Evil 4. You played that?
No. Oh, four?
Four. That's the, remember, oh, yeah. That's the one, yeah. That was the one that was so interesting because they kind of took the whole, you know, zombie side of things or whatever they were doing with one, two, and three.
Oh, yeah. Four was the Las Plagas.
Yeah.
Parasites,
so
yeah.
They put you in the parasite. I think it was also, it skipped the first person view. It was over the shoulder, right?
Over the shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over the shoulder view. So I made some nice changes in the genre.
Exactly.
More action based than fear and suspense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a pretty good port on the Wii, I think, from what I remember. But yeah. Duke Frickham says, I just replayed Resident Evil 4. Does not hold up. I don't know why. It doesn't. I just remember that being one that I was really, really interested in. Never did play, but I was really interested in that. Among all the other Resident Evils, that was the one that, that I was very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when I say all the other Resident Evils, I mean everything before, what, 7 and 8 that have been recently done, you know?
Yes. 1 through 3, okay. 4 was when they made the change. 5 has his moments in there. I think 6 is generally known as the mistake.
Yeah,
it is. 6 is a mistake.
Yeah.
7 and 8 is the, I guess, current run of the current form of Resident Evil. That's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I think they're doing a trilogy of it, I believe. 7, 8, and 9 are supposed to be a trilogy of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was the case. So, anyway, this is from Resident Evil 4. It's called, is it Ganado?
Ganado. The Ganados.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ganado 4, I believe, is what this is called. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I didn't know there was voices in this track. You should listen to these.
Yeah, there's a rule about not having a...
Well, I try not to use vocals, yeah, but then I listened vocals. To that, and I was like, I hope he didn't say anything. I'm sure he's fine, but I was like, I don't know what's being said.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is October. We always do spooky music from video games during the month of October.
Mm-hmm.
This works.
Yeah.
This is called Terror. That's the name of the track, so, you know, that's already working in its favor. It's from a game called The White Chamber. I don't know anything about it. Maybe it's a little indie game or something like that. Oh, this is pretty good audio work for an indie game.
What was the title again?
The White Chamber.
I keep thinking of the padded room in a psychiatric facility.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. But yeah, that's what that is. Yeah, that works. That works for you. That works for your haunted, your haunted video games.
Yeah.
Your spooky games. Welcome back to In-Game Chats. We're talking about the Nintendo Switch, the OLED. So transfer process between switches is actually very, very good.
Okay.
But I read online about how really, really horrible it is. But and maybe it was just the events of my day. Yesterday, and maybe it was just a sense that this is just amazing to me because of that. I don't know. There we go. I forgot to turn off the Discord thing. I'm hearing something else.
Like a ticking?
Yeah. You hear that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Never fails, folks. Never right? fails.
Okay, it's coming out of your mic.
Yeah.
There, it's coming out of yours. So anyway, welcome back to the show. So the OLED screen is really, really nice. I mean, it's an OLED. If you have an OLED at all, I mean, if you've used an OLED television set or anything like that, you know, these things are really, really, really nice. And the switch screen is no difference on the OLED. You do notice that it is a bigger screen. And at first glance, the whole body of it, with the Joy-Cons not attached to it, but the whole body of the Switch feels or seems larger. It's absolutely not. Hmm. I took the Joy-Cons off of the regular Switch as I was doing the transfer process, and right. we put them up next to each other. It's the same.
Exactly
it's the exact same. Same. But for whatever reason, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, it gave a sense that, oh, this is larger. But no, it's just the screen real estate is the larger. There is the bigger aspect of it.
Yeah.
They just took what you already had and pushed it to the edge mm-hmm. of what you had. Yeah. So that was interesting. And again, the body changes, you know, which are very, I want to say low key, but it's actually a pretty big deal. It's that kickstand is an amazing... I shouldn't be so excited about a kickstand, and I'm really not. What I'm most wondering is why they ever went with the way that they did it on the first one to begin with. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the way that they did it, but using it on the OLED version where it is the entire back half, you know, opens out
okay,
so that it can rest. And it has multiple levels of, and I'm doing this, of how far this can, you know... You can take the back and you can flip it all the way up, and it can have some sort of incline as you lay it down, but it can, you know, it's different. And it's stronger material, everything. It just feels a little bit more sturdier than that. I mean, the kickstand you have on the other one was just that one little leg that pops out where the memory card goes in.
Was there issues with people breaking theirs?
No. Actually, for what it was, wasn't bad. It didn't feel like it should do what it, you know, it should be that sturdy. And yeah, you're going to have... you know, it doesn't have, it's not as stable because it's not covering the whole thing.
Not covering the entire area, but yeah.
For what it did, it's really good.
Okay.
It was actually very good. This is just an improvement on that.
Okay.
Just I would say a much better improvement upon that.
It's not a kickstand, it's a full stand.
It is a full stand. A lot of people relate it to the Surface, the Microsoft Surface.
Okay.
If you've had one of those tablets where it has the stand.
Yeah, if you ever see a NFL game, they got them on the sideline all the time. So yeah. I've seen it.
So yeah, there's that. Metroid Dread looked really good on every game that I had when I was doing the transfer. It looked really good on it. The interesting thing was, so their transfer process is really, really cool. You go in there and you set, I want to move this profile, all its save data and all its information, I want to move it over to this Switch. And so you go into the new Switch, you say, I'm going to do a data transfer, you log into your account with the new Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all these steps that go through, and it gets to the point where it's now looking for your source Switch. Then you go to your source Switch, and you set everything up there. You don't have to actually sign into your account on that Switch,
mm-hmm.
But it finds the target Switch. You hit transfer. Vroom, vroom, it took, I don't know, less than 5 minutes for any one profile on there. Depending on how much save data you had, it took even less time.
Yeah.
And I moved all of our profiles off the old one onto the new one, and I thought everything was good.
Until
I tried to launch Animal Crossing. A game that I put a whole lot of time into.
Please don't tell me you lost stuff during the transfer.
You don't lose it during the transfer. Animal Crossing is very weird because Nintendo is very... weird when it comes to save states, I guess. I'm not sure. The way Animal Crossing works is you have an island that you start with, and that island, not only is it tied to your account, it's actually tied to the console. It is tied to the device itself.
I see where this is going.
Yeah.
I see where this is going.
Without getting to this point where I realize that I've done this, I have also now taken my old Switch system and I have initialized it or format or whatever you want to call it. It's the one where you reset it to factory settings. Yeah. I want the next person who opens this thing up. I don't want them to have the experience of, oh, here's somebody's stuff all on my Switch. I want them to have an experience as though they just
clean slate.
They just bought it.
Yeah, clean slate. Yeah.
They're gonna have it come out of the wrapping. They're gonna have the thing there, and it's, everything is gonna be like, hey, brand new. You got a brand new Switch. That's what I want.
Yeah.
So I did all of that to make sure that was going to be the case. And so then I have my Switch OLED, and, you know, Wendy's there next to me. She's like, you should look at Animal Crossing on that thing. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. So I signed into her account on Animal Crossing, and I pull it up, and it starts the intro screen of, like, you're getting a new island. I thought, that's odd. So I go to my save games on the memory card, and I do not see Animal Crossing anywhere. I go online to switch to the online store or whatever to go to my profile to find everything that's attached to my profile. Animal Crossing is not on it anywhere. On mine, on hers, does nothing. It's gone. It's gone. This is a game that I started playing when it, I think it was around the time it launched, a little bit, it was about a month after it launched, actually.
Soon after it launched, I remember.
Because I was waiting for the Switch to come back from Nintendo. And so that was in May, a little late April, early May. Played it. Brought it here to work because it was the whole pandemic thing, and there was very little amount of people here and very little to do. And so I had that here to kind of fill in the gaps of the downtime and to do my daily stuff that you do on your island. I got Wendy into it because she wasn't much of a game person, but here it is, this thing, and she got attached to it and set up herself. And she did a fantastic job with the island. She put in more effort on that thing than I ever did, especially in the decoration department.
Yeah, the thing about the game that makes this really bad is that Animal Crossing, to me, isn't the type of game you play. It's a game you build.
Yeah.
It's something you are building.
It is.
Over months and months and months.
And yeah, it totally is.
And you're telling me that one transfer, because it's tied into the system and not on a file that you can move easily.
Yeah.
So the verdict is basically it's there's no coming back. It's gone.
I'm not done.
Okay. Because that's what it sounds like for me from here.
So I hit the phone, and I'm going to, you know, going to the internet there, and I'm like, Lost Island during transfer, blah, blah, blah. And there's people like, oh. Well, oddly enough, earlier last year, if you had gone from, say, the original Switch to the Animal Crossing Switch, or the original Switch to a Switch Lite, or an Animal Crossing Switch to a Switch Lite, if you had done that before, I want to say around October of last year, could have been October of last year, I think. If you had done that prior to that, there's a good chance that your island's gone. It's completely done. But around October, sometime in late summer of last year, they initiated or they introduced the dreams where you can visit other people's islands, but you can't change anything on their island. You can just, basically, you can just walk around and look. You can't do anything. So they introduced that, and they introduced a backup system, which I initiated at some point last year. The thing about the backup system is it backs it up to, like, Nintendo servers, and it constantly does this. It does this as long as your system is in sleep mode or basically not powered down and is connected to the internet, it backs up your island to Nintendo servers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have access to that, though. It's there in case your Nintendo Switch gets lost or stolen or damaged. Initially is what that was there for. At least that's the rules, and that's what everything that I looked up said was about that. But the more I looked up this, the more I read where people were like, yeah, I lied to them and told them, yeah, the dog broke it. Or, you know, the dog chewed it up.
Yeah.
Or I dropped it in the pool. Or somehow it got damaged. Usually if it's a damage on your fault, they still wouldn't do it. But this had to have been the smoothest transfer I've ever done. They were closed last night when I wanted to do it, and they wouldn't open back up until like 6 a.m. Pacific, like 8 a.m. this morning.
8 o'clock, yeah.
So I waited until 8 a.m. I went to the Nintendo support page. There's a text, or not a text chat, but an online chat you can have. I didn't call them. I didn't do anything like that. I just went to chat, talked to a guy named Diego who works for Nintendo. I said, I think I've lost my Animal Crossing island. Can I please recover it? Oh, do you have the backup system? I'm pretty sure I enabled that. Well, give me your email that's associated with your account. So I did. Hey, you've got a backup here. Now give me the serial number of your Switch. gave him the Switch OLED version.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now launch Animal Crossing and hold the minus button on the controller as soon as the Nintendo logo appears, which I did. And brings up, Tom Nook comes in there and says, hey, you want to grab your island? Let's see if we've got your database. And Nintendo, so that's the thing. You have to contact Nintendo. They turn your database on so that it can be found. Otherwise, they keep it turned off. But they turn it on so it can be found. It finds it because it's associated to your account, and then it downloaded it. I pulled down my island this morning. Everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
My stuff was there. Wendy's stuff was there. Everything was there just as we had left it. The last database backup that it had done was October the 1st. I don't think we had played it prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all good. It was all good. But that only goes to say that I know that that was an easy little interface, and it was an easy transfer system and everything else. But they got to fix that.
Yeah.
They need more. They need to tell people more that this is how, because apparently in Animal Crossing, you can go to the Nintendo eShop and download a free transfer tool specifically for that game, which will let you transfer the island from one to another or put the island up in the cloud for a minute so that you can then go get your new Switch and pull it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really, I don't want to say contentious, what I'm trying to say. Convoluted in some way. But going through Nintendo support was the easiest thing in the world. However, you wouldn't have to have worried about that if I had known to do this ahead of time.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I thought your game save was your game save was your game save. But that's not the case with Animal Crossing. And apparently Pokemon on the Nintendo Switch has also got something with that. And I don't know which version of Pokemon or whatever.
Trying to think right now, any game that involves building up something on the Switch would be having that issue.
Yeah, it was it was a very happy ending, Malthrun. Drunk Degenerates. I got one name over here and one name over here, and it's the same dude. But yeah, that's something you need to remember. If you are getting a new Switch or you're transferring between the two Switches, your Animal Crossing Island and maybe even your Pokemon stuff, you need to look into the game before you do that about moving your saves over. It's not necessarily that you could lose it, but if you don't have the backup involved, if you don't have the backup enabled to where it backs up your stuff, and I have no idea what Pokemon offers, I just don't play those games, then you could really, really run the risk. So make sure everything is there. Make sure it transfers over. These are the only two games that I know of that don't have some sort of game save state.
Are these the only two games that are saved to the actual console?
Well, where the everything is tied to that
console. Are these the only two games that do that?
I believe so. Most games that you buy and download and everything else, they're tied to your account. And Animal Crossing is the same way. If you bought Animal Crossing online, it is still tied to your account.
But I'm talking about the save data.
But the save data is not. The data is tied to the console you put it on. It's not the best. But I guess Nintendo realizes that, given how easy it was to get that transferred this morning.
Yeah.
But still, you shouldn't have to go through that.
But yeah, all the other games were fine, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, everything else was good.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is the save data for all those other games, they're not tied to the system.
No, they're tied to your account.
The account.
Okay. Yeah. Like it should be.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it makes sense.
I know you're asking me. As though, like, it's not, you know, as because it sounds weird, because it does sound weird. It shouldn't be that way. So, yeah. But Diego from Nintendo Support, thank you, buddy. Lifesaver.
Shout out to Diego.
I know. He was really nice.
MVP.
He was very nice. As far as Metroid Dread is concerned, I told you I only played 30 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was a good 30 minutes
of Metroid Dread, buddy. Mm. Oh, man. Let me tell you. That was nice.
Okay.
That was nice moving around, especially when you go to the rooms with the Emmys, and the Emmys are the EMMIs, and there's a whole thing of like what that means, I don't know what it is, but anyway.
Enemies?
Enemies would be a good one.
Yeah.
But there are these robots. They're only in certain sections of the game. Like, you know, before you walk in through that door, you know what's behind it, because the doors signify, this is an Emmy room you're about to walk into.
What, the door color, it glows or something?
Yeah,
or?
The door, yeah, it's got a different, you know how Metroid is.
I don't, actually.
Oh, well, never mind.
So, it was another one of those well-known titles that I've never played, heard of, but never actually played.
Oh, buddy, you got to play some Metroid, man. I think you would like it, actually, just out of the difficulty part of things.
Yeah. Okay.
The way you like your difficulty, especially these Emmy sections.
Mm-hmm.
The Emmy sections are turns out to be is basically they're, I wouldn't call them stealth, because they will find you.
Mm-hmm.
It is just not getting caught. It is basically a rush. Once you enter that door, it is very, very critical that you find the next door to get out of there.
So standing still is not an option.
No, you can stand still, actually. But basically, as soon as you come in, they're somewhere prowling around.
I mean, yeah, but when you say rush and get there as soon as possible, I'm like, if they're going to rush, they're going to find you.
You may can walk. You might be able to walk, but I think they can still hear you. I think it's more of a sense of, again, I've only put in 30 minutes. And I'm only in my first room where this applies.
All right.
And so it's and that's where I think where I left off last night. But no, I got through that room. But yeah, you go through it and they're searching for you. And, you know, if they see you, they're going to chase you down. If you can kind of get out of their sight, they'll still continue to look for you, and they'll send out sonar that can hear you and know your location. And if they get a ping from that location, they will check there, but you need to move mm-hmm. from that position. Of course, the more noise you make, they'll just ping you again and find out where you're at. Mm. So it's basically you've got to get out of there. There is, and Chris talked about this, there is a, and somebody's actually calling. I'll put them on hold because I don't have a phone answer. Mm-hmm. Wendy's not here. But you can do a quick time event or just, it's basically a counter.
Yeah.
You know, when something like flashes on the screen, you got to press the button at the exact time. But the timing is very, very tight. And I was only able to do it during the tutorial. I haven't been able to do it.
How tight are we talking about here? Like fraction of a second would be wrong?
I would say even less. Nearly impossible. You can do it, but it is nearly impossible to do it.
Does QTE change on you?
I don't know. No. It's still just one button. Just press X right when the thing flashes and you can counter. That's it. But if you don't counter, you're dead. It's a one hit done.
Okay.
You're dead. You have to start again.
Okay.
From the checkpoint. So, but the game looks good. It really pulled me in. I mean, it's Metroid, man. And I haven't played a Metroid game in a long time. I played plenty of Metroid likes. Mm-hmm. Axiom Verge being the best one that I've played that isn't actually Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't played a pure Metroid game in a long, long time. Probably since the Wii with Metroid Prime.
Okay.
Prime 3 or Prime 2, I don't know. But it's been a long time.
So does Dread do for Metroid what Sonic Mania did for Sonic the Hedgehog?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know because I'm not a Sonic. Yeah, no. Well.
Basically like this. A back to the basics type of a change.
Maybe.
Because Sonic the Hedgehog was, you know, side-scrolling, right. All about speed, that type of thing. Then it went to the 3D realm and then it had all types of different gaming genres thrown in there with it, but then when it went back to the basics, really back to how it all began, that was one of the most well received Sonic
titles
out there.
Yeah, so, this will be a very well received Metroid title. It really will, as far as critically, it will be, and it probably already is. Mm-hmm. But like he says in the chat room, there, Drunk to Dinner, it says if people want more Metroid, they better buy this one. Well, we know they're already working on Metroid Prime 4. They had to scratch everything from that and start over. To work on that. It'll be a long time before we get that. The last Metroid game I played was Prime.
Mm-hmm.
That was specifically built for the Wii, or was it the GameCube? That was the GameCube, wasn't it?
No idea. Let's see. Metroid Prime 4?
No, just Metroid Prime.
Okay.
Because I think I got the Metroid Prime trilogy.
Hmm.
But I want to say that was GameCube.
GameCube and Wii.
Yeah. I think 1 and 2 may have hit GameCube, and then 3 might have come out on the Wii.
Mm.
So I know I played 1 and 2. I don't know if I played 3. But those were, I want to say those were kind of self-contained in the sense that they were doing something different. They had first-person mode. It was a first-person shooter in a Metroid game, which was something not normally done. You had the GBA versions of Metroid. You had Fusion. You had Other M. You had plenty of different types of Metroid games.
Is this the one that had the had one of the scariest game over screens in video gaming? Isn't it?
I don't remember.
Because it was the 3D Metroid that had it like that.
Maybe it did.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
The game over screen?
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah,
pretty bad. If this is a game I remember it being, then yeah. It
was the worst game over screens I remember is everything they did to Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider updates. The recent Tomb Raider, the three Tomb Raider games, the most recent three Tomb Raider games.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
Oh, they just beat her up, man.
Oh, yeah.
They beat her up. And if you died, it was usually something horrible. Because you missed like a QTE. Like, I remember there being in the water there. And if you missed a QTE, like a branch went right through your throat.
Yeah.
It's just brutal.
Let's see.
Limbo's another one that has brutal deaths, even though it's in black and white.
Yeah, you don't need much of not a lot of detail, but you just, the lack of detail. Because the lack of detail forces you to use your imagination.
Yeah, you got to think about exactly what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
We need to take a break because we're already here. We need to take a break. And when we come back, I will hit some more stuff here. I'm sorry I went long on that. But yeah, everything is good with the Switch now, the OLED. And so that just to wrap up that whole story there, I'm happy with it. That Metroid Dread is so good. Metroid Dread worth the purchase alone. I would say that right now.
Except that tie-in with the system thing.
But I also got that with store credit. So, what do I say?
All the credit.
So much credit. Here is music from, you played the Siren games? Siren Blood Curse?
I've got them. I don't think I've played them. I think it was like free and I picked it up.
It was free for PlayStation Plus members, I believe.
Yeah.
This is Siren Blood Curse Desolation is the name of this track. Remember, October, spooky music. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat.
Sounds like Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Nintendo property, yeah. Well, it's Rare, but yeah. Which is now a Microsoft property, but whatever. At that time, it was Nintendo.
Yeah.
So Luigi's Mansion.
Luigi's Mansion, okay.
Yeah. She picked this. When she picked this, she said, I picked this because I figured this was something you would pick. I was like, you know what? It would. It's a little... It's cutesy spooky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Spooky cute. I don't know. I'm trying to find a word for it, but yeah, it's always fun to have that stuff in there as well. Which reminds me, I need to watch that Muppets Haunted Mansion thing on Disney Plus. What?
We can talk about it off the air.
Did you? What?
No, we can talk about it off the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you still have Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
But you said that, and now it's like I want to know. That's fine.
There's a reason we talk about it off.
I get it. I get it. I know. Off the air.
You've been in radio how long? Double digit years.
Well, that's the thing. I've been in radio how long, and that's why I don't want to say bare my soul, but in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, where I don't really off the air is fine. The only reason I keep it off the air is because it's FCC regulated that I can't put it on the air.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And since we're talking about Disney, I didn't think that would be the case, but maybe you're a little different there, RJ.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe Disney gets you to vulgarness. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Chris called and wanted to talk about Metroid Dread, and I do want to talk about Metroid Dread, but after I put in more than 30 minutes of it,
You haven't even scratched the surface of that game.
No, not at all. Yeah. But the other thing was that I haven't even scratched the surface of anything that went on this week because I talked way too long about the Switch and the Dread and everything else and the transfer, which, by the way, I love the way Nintendo does their transfers. Let me just say that. Their save data and user data stuff, that's perfectly fine. And I know it can be done just as easy on any of the bigger guys like the Microsoft or the Sony because you can just put everything on a thumb drive and move it over from system to system. Works just as easy that way. But this thing, to see my account go from one Switch to another Switch and everything be there outside of Animal Crossing, I thought, well, that is just the coolest thing. Even though it would be easier for them to just allow you to switch. Figured I'd do that. Not to anybody's surprise, PlayStation 5 and Xbox shortages will continue into next year. Just how long, I don't know, but it'll be a while. The New World game that was released by Amazon, that's been getting a lot of people talking about it. I haven't played it.
I'm about to say for the wrong reasons.
I've seen a lot of people playing it, but I actually, we've got people in Discord. I haven't been keeping up with Discord, but there's a lot of people in Discord. Duke's in there. Mal's in there. Can you guys hear me?
Sure can.
Hey, it's Duke.
Yep.
Hey, look at that. We got people in Discord. It sounds like they're right in the next room. This is fantastic.
In the room.
Or in the room with us, yeah. I don't know what either of you wanted to talk about. Duke probably wanted to talk about New World.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if people were playing it and what their reaction was.
Are you playing it?
It launched like crazy.
Are you playing it?
I'm playing it right now.
Okay. You give us some thoughts. I have not dipped my toe into that at all.
I mean, I'm not an MMO guy at all, like whatsoever. So this was really kind of shocking, I guess, how quickly I picked it up. And I mean, I've already sunk, I think, 60 hours into it.
Wow.
But I played WoW like back in 2006 for like a month. And then I think I played a little bit of Lord of the Rings Online and then maybe Star Wars, The Old Republic. So that's my MMO background.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I guess I was most impressed. First of all, I wanted to check out the Amazon Studios just to see
right,
what
exactly.
Doing.
It's like you're a brand new development company, brand new release. It's from a high profile company, being that it's right. Amazon. It's their first sort of step into the gaming world. And, you know, let's see how that works. And yeah, what did you think?
I just was impressed how polished it was. Like, I didn't know. I guess my expectations were, I thought it would be a little bit maybe cookie cutter, mm-hmm. you know, just maybe if they were just borrowing from other things. And, you know, it's not that dissimilar from WoW, right? Like, it's got the same, it's a little, I mean, there's no orcs or troll, you know, there's no, that those types of characters. It's basically like humans versus this, you know, infected plague on this world. But I guess I've just been having fun with the grinding. You know, it's very satisfying. The sound, I think what it is, it's the sound effects. I think the sound effects
really
grab me, like cutting down a tree or, going to mine ore, which you mine gold or silver or something like that. Stupid, you know, the quests are not, they're about what you expect. It's like go to A, gather X amount of B, and then go back to C. And then there's different variations of that, you know, go kill X enemy at this area, come back, and then, oh, by the way, go back to that area and kill the big boss at the end. You know, you're going to expect that type of those missions. But it's super well polished. You know, the queue thing was a little bit annoying at launch because you had to kind of like plan when you wanted to play. Like if I wanted to play at night when my kids are sleeping, I probably had to log on around 4 p.m. and sit in a queue for 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
I haven't had to deal with queues in a long time.
This was my first like introduction to it, so I was annoyed. I was like, "What is this?
Yeah,
this is
course.
A game launch.
Mm-hmm.
You're Amazon. You own AWS, and you can't allocate enough servers for you know your biggest game launch. Like, I don't understand that aspect of it.
Is there any tie-in? Like, if you're a Prime member and you're playing it, do you get benefits?
No, but
you have to know they're going to put that in there, right?
Account,
yeah.
And you do get some rewards for, I think, for logging in.
Of course.
There's different skins and stuff.
Yeah, of course. Well, I don't know. It might be something I try. I don't know. You put in a lot of time with it, and I really should watch some videos on it because I just the whole, like, there's not been a trailer yet that I've seen that is kind of drawn me into it.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's if you've played an MMO, it's probably what you'd expect it to be. But I didn't really get far in it. This is the furthest I've ever leveled up a character. I think I'm level 35 right now, so I'm not even close to where I need to be to do any of the stuff that is meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure what my end game plan is because I'm not raiding. I know for a fact that's not going to happen.
Right.
There's no way I can organize time to even come close to doing that. So it's more of just like getting to the max level and then, you know, seeing what a couple of the friends that I have playing it are going to be doing and probably just retire it from there because I'm not probably going to make another character either.
Yeah.
So.
And what's the cost of the game?
That's the other thing that was appealing to it. It was a $40 game.
Oh, it is only $40. I saw people selling keys for $40, but I thought that was a discount.
No, that's the game. That's the full game.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's your entry into the game. So.
Yeah, that's not a bad barrier to entry. Just $40 to try. Is there no monthly fee or anything like that? Just $40, you're in, right?
Yep. All $40 and that's it.
Well, that's cool. All right, great. Mal, what's going on with you, man? You played Hell Let Loose, I think, right?
Yep, I've been playing that a lot.
Because I think it's free on the PlayStation, if you're PlayStation Plus, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the console release of the game.
Yeah, yeah. And did you play New World at all, or just that's what you've been playing?
I also tried the Battlefield beta.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people on Steam playing that as well. The Battlefield 24, I don't know how many. How many years are we in Battlefield now?
No idea. Near future.
Okay. Whatever the number is.
It's really bad.
Yeah, I know. But how's that? Wait, it's buggy?
Oh, it was very buggy. Yeah.
Oh. So, I mean, how did you enjoy it? It's just the multiplayer, right?
Yeah, it's just the multiplayer. It won't have any campaign. Basically, the most I got out of it was playing it with some friends on comms, and that was about it.
Yeah. Back 4 Blood, by the way, comes out this week. The old
I've looked into it, but I'll wait and see.
Yep.
Oh, man, I actually forgot about that. I might have to stop playing New World and pick that up.
It's on Game Pass, of course. If you've got Game Pass, it'll be available on Game Pass. I don't know if it's cross-platform play, though. Can I play?
I think it is.
I think it is as well.
Yeah, I remember it being in the beta.
And that's the number one thing that I've read with previews right now is like, hey, this is actually a little bit better than Left 4 Dead, but it still really only shines when you're playing with other people. Like that's the best part of it.
I can see that, but they've added a lot of things. They have a card. I don't know if you've read into it, but there's a card system
yep.
now. So you get like random perks based on whatever part of the map you're at, and you can kind of collect them and then equip them. You know, once you collect them all,
yeah.
And that adds like a different element to, you know, the randomness of the game, which is nice. You know, that's a good thing to do. But then there's like this weapon system as well. Like you have to buy ammo. And so every time you get to like a next checkpoint, you collect money as you go.
You spend your credits to prepare for the next section.
Right. And that part, I don't like that. I just hope they don't make, it's really tough to tell what they're going to do, but I hope they don't make the same mistakes that Evolve did. And that's, you have to buy your way into like, different portions of like enemies or like play as different enemies. You have to buy that because that's what happened with the Evolve fiasco. And then they went free to play to try to make up for that.
And this is already
too late.
This is the same studio.
So it's tough because you read through like the package descriptions and it kind of alludes to that microtransaction a bit, but nothing's been really talked about yet.
Well, it hits on two. I think it's available right now. If you've pre-ordered the game, I think you can actually play ahead of time. But it releases on Tuesday, and if you're on Game Pass, if you've got Game Pass, then enjoy because you'll be able to play it that day immediately. And obviously, you won't have to put in the money for it. But we'll find out. I really haven't read much up on it. I've just seen a few articles come by and kind of tried to get to the TLDR of it, which was. A lot of fun, but it's just like Left 4 Dead. It's more fun with people that you're playing with.
Yeah.
And that's the whole, that was the whole point of Left 4 Dead, man. That we had so many Left 4 Dead sessions and Left 4 Dead 2 sessions that were a lot of fun, but they were only fun when we were playing together. Mm-hmm. That's something I'll look at in the coming weeks as well. And well, guys, I appreciate you guys joining us here on the show. Thank you so much for the Discord as well. I do appreciate
having us.
Now, Mal, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Just basically wanted to put out a recommendation for Hell Let Loose.
Yeah. You said though that it only really works when everybody's working together.
Yeah, it's they call those games milsim games.
Yeah, military sims.
Yeah, it goes a little bit in that direction. It's not like an Arma, but it's at least more simmy than Battlefield or COD Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And you really gotta work together as a team. Is it strictly multiplayer, right? Or is it team based multiplayer?
Yeah. You have a number of squads. You have a commander who can communicate with the officers in the squads, and the officers can communicate with the squad and the commander, and have their separate voice channels for the roles.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
It's not a game that I've played. I think it's on my wish list on Steam, because I believe Nate was playing it way back when it was in early access. And
yeah, it's been on PC for a while now at this point.
Yeah, I think it has.
2017 was the first you could play it. Maybe.
I was looking up.
Or maybe that was when the Kickstarter was. But yeah, it's been out there for a while.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. What were you looking up?
I was looking it up on the Google. It says Hell Let Loose, a multiplayer tactical first-person shooter. So yeah, multiplayer there, but tactical. So communication is key.
Yeah,
I'm already thinking there with a tactical
thing. Which I'm actually okay with. I like that. One of the best multiplayer. Well, it wasn't multiplayer; it was co-op. Yeah. One of the best co-op tactical type games that I had that we had fun with was SWAT 4, mm-hmm. way back when.
Yeah,
me, James.
That's funny. Huh? You're bringing up the technical stuff like late in the show, but I know we don't have probably time to talk about it, but did you see what Ubisoft announced this week?
The Ghost Recon thing?
Yeah, the new Ghost Recon free-to-play.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you can go into it. We don't have much time, but you feel free to go into it. I have the thing up here somewhere where I kept the news article about it.
Yeah, they're looking for a buck here. This is totally like ignoring the fans of the franchise and going in a direction where they hope to try and, you know, capitalize on everybody else that has their own free to play game out there. But boy, it was disappointing after that X variant release, and then this. It's like, I don't know what. And then the reviews of Far Cry 6 too are not great. I don't know.
Not great, but I've never, I don't know. Is Far Cry 6 doing better than Far Cry 5? Because really that's the only candle they hold it to. You know, well did it do to the prior one?
I remember Far Cry 5 being like relatively well received. I don't remember it being too negative. But this, I mean, aside from the bugs, which it sounds like Far Cry 6 has, it just sounds like it missed the mark.
Yeah.
Is Far Cry 6 the mistake? Because we were talking about Resident Evil earlier, because 6 was the...
We probably won't know that until Far Cry 7.
Yeah. Well, yeah, basically what I'm trying to say is that a whole bunch of titles that have a whole bunch of sequels afterwards...
Well, I remember I remember coming across an article or a video where somebody had said Ubisoft's shtick is wearing thin as far as the... Let's go turn this red tower into a blue tower, and let's go find the next red tower.
That in 5. That was the game that got rid of all that junk. But it was really weird because after they came out with 5, there was like a poll that they sent out to all their fans. They were like, "Where do you want Far Cry to take you next?" And then like the options were like the moon and Mars, and like, do you want to fight dinosaurs? It was just like crazy, you know, options that Far Cry could basically go. And like, I think they sampled a little of that because there was some DLC like where it actually took you to Mars. But I mean, I don't know, you know, the Far Cry franchise in itself is definitely like, we're seeing a pattern now, and unless they're going to change something drastically, I don't think we're going to expect anything too new or innovative in these games.
Yeah, I was looking over that, and I know we're jumping across all over the place, but Ghost Recon Frontline, 100+ players fighting as teams of 3.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's one. That's one of the game modes that they're going to introduce in Ghost Recon Frontline, which is free to play. Like they said, 100+ players fighting as teams of three.
Yikes. So yeah, they want to do like the battle royale junk, and they want to do it in like teams. So you go to like different parts of the map, and you know you conquer this area before moving to the next. And I don't know if this circle is going to get smaller and all that crap, but that's what it sounds like they want. They want it to be like a massive map with tons of players. But you know, the whole point of Ghost Recon is like stealth. Like you're not going to be stealthing in a map with 100 players.
No,
it's just not.
No, I mean, and plus, Ghost Recon Wildlands is still doing fine.
Wildlands is the model that they need to go back to. Like,
right.
They need to remember what made that game popular, which is still, Breakpoint I still enjoyed, but they, there was a lot about Breakpoint that they missed when they launched it.
I liked, what was it, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter or something, whatever that was from the Xbox 360 launch, I think it was. Or during that Xbox 360 time, that was the first time I'd played a Ghost Recon, and then I discovered the earlier games, and we played those on PC together, doing the co-op stuff, which was a lot of fun. Well, guys, thank you guys for joining in Discord. I love when we get to use that because it sounds so good. So I appreciate you guys popping in there and giving us your time. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for having us, Scott.
You're welcome.
Y'all take care.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Wanted to say before we go, you had brought up that you were playing Grand Theft Auto Online, and of course Rockstar revealed this week that Grand Theft Auto Trilogy thing is going to get released. Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas will have a remaster of sorts. The Grand Theft Auto, the Trilogy, the Definitive Edition, is going to be released at some point in later this year, actually. It'll be released on the Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. You'll also get it on iOS and Android devices in 2022. The other thing that they mentioned, though, is that in about less than a week, Rockstar is going to pull all three of those games from every store that it's available on.
Okay.
So that they can just reissue this.
Just reissue that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is, well, I say the problem, I don't necessarily know, but I know I read an article saying like, hey, you've only got a few days to get Grand Theft Auto, or at least the moddable version of Grand Theft Auto in the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of those games can be modded how you would like to, I suppose.
Yeah.
But once they pull them from the store, apparently what they're putting out there you will not be able to use mods on those, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that all the way just yet, but yeah. We're going all the way to the top of the hour on this one, or at least as close as we can, because I should have done some music organization. The last song here is not from a horror game, but it's got music that Wendy said reminded her of Halloween Season of the Witch. Some sort of song you would listen to. It was a little Halloween song you would listen to, and apparently would drive you insane. And this is what it reminded of. So it's very repetitive, and it does not vary. And it does it for like a minute, and it's just annoying. So I don't want to go all the way, because it's really, so when you get the idea of it, you're done, you know?
Yeah.
And you get the idea of it within like the first 10 seconds, and you're done.
And you got 50 more seconds to listen to.
You're done with it, because it's like, oh, that is just repetitive. It just keeps going on and on.
So it's a scratch record, basically.
In a sense, yeah.
The record that skips back to it again over and over and over.
But
again.
I loved how she... I'd have never gone to Kid Icarus to find a spooky music thing from it.
Yeah.
But she put her head in a different space and said, that would freak me out. And okay. Yeah, you know? So I want to thank everybody who showed up into the chat room. You guys, there's so many people out there. We got Stephen Van Damme, Ortholexi, I think. Nabokov Fan 87, McCrooks. Lethal Migraine, go with him. Feet, somebody just named Feet. Elysian, Duke Frukum, Drug Degenerates, Commander Root, A10, AC Wraith, and Academy Impossible. Thank you guys for showing up. Wendy's in there too. Hey, Wendy. Thank you all for being with us on the show today, and have a great week. Thanks to everybody in the chat room and everybody listening on the stream, everybody in Discord who showed up, and everybody who gets our show each week from iTunes. Also, we put our show up on YouTube. You can get it that way if you'd like to as well. You can go to YouTube, subscribe. We're on Twitch right now. You can subscribe to us on Twitch. We've got a Steam group on Steam if you want to do that. We're just, you know, Discord, please, ingamechat.net. Just go there, join our Discord. Have a fantastic week. This music comes from Kid Icarus. It is called The Mad Reaper. That's it. Over and over and over again. Anyway, that's our show. Bye.